enough sleep yesterday. I mean, it, you know, like your body knows.
Uh-huh.
Your body knows that you need rest. So I am somewhat rejuvenated today. I have, from a technical side of life, I'm in order mode for football season, so that's always fun. I love ordering things, especially when it's not my money.
I was going to say that Ben, if you must know, at some point around this time, Ben starts doing inventory, and there is a joy. I can tell in your countenance there's a joy that says, I just bought 2 Comrex units and 17 different cords today
yep.
to replace stuff that I really hated. There is a joy in you that is unmistakable.
Man, there's wear and tear on equipment and all, and people, but you know, we can't just order a new person. Boy, wouldn't that be nice if you could?
Oh man, golly. You know what? Your vocal cords were a little shot at the end of last year. We're going to have to replace you.
I do have a little bit of a bone to pick with you in a moment.
Oh, no.
I had something happen to me today that is a big fear that I did not realize it was a big fear until it happened.
Okay.
That is, I am coming back from Ingalls on 123 here in Easley. And what is the road that parallels, I think it's called East Main, maybe. At some point, it is Main. It parallels the train tracks.
Like here. On the other side.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. I think it's just East Main. I don't know what it is. It's, yeah. I don't know. It's the road that takes me toward 153, is what I know, and Greenville.
Right.
When I'm going out, whatever that road is.
But, you know, there's the Y in the road, 123 stays to the left, and you bear off to the right.
Right.
You know, and there's one. There's a road that goes underneath the train tracks, and then there's the next intersection. I typically make a right there, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
And kind of come across that way. Anyway, the train lights might have been flashing when I made that right.
Oh, no.
It would have been close. I didn't think to look. It's really it's very close in proximity, your road to the train tracks right there. There's room for exactly 2 cars. I do know that because I go through there very often. As I make the right, the bar on my side starts coming down.
Oh, no!
And I really thought I was too far, and I just kind of froze for a moment, and I went.
Oh, no.
And in hindsight, it was close. I mean, like, I'm not intentionally trying to beat this thing. I'm really not. I just did not see it until the last second. The bar on the other side was low enough that I had to sort of swerve around the end. I think I could have gotten under it, but I wasn't going to hit that thing. And I'm like, this is how people die.
You're playing Frogger.
All this time, I always go, what idiot gets stuck on a train track? There's lights and bars and loud big trains. How do you not see this? And then I found myself in that situation. And I had about a second and a half of sheer terror. It's like, what if my truck turns off? You know how fast your mind works. It's very tight right there between the road and the tracks. And even from one side of the tracks to the other, I mean, it feels like they are the crossing bars are closer to the tracks there than they are some of the other places.
It's pretty tight right there.
So
Ben, that's my nightmare. What you're describing, your nightmare, you lived it today. That is my nightmare.
I didn't know it was my nightmare, but it was.
You got through it though. I mean, when you got through, were you like, okay, I had a little more time,
uh-huh.
or was it like in a movie? where you escape death by a mere moment. Yeah, not death. But well, you know, how much leeway did we have there?
Again, it was the second crossbar was low enough that I did not drive straight. I swerved around the end just to make sure. And I did see the train.
Okay.
After I was safe, roughly, fairly safe, I saw the train to my left. I did. And I was just grateful that it wasn't one of those like 60-mile-an-hour trains.
Tammy from Seneca says, we call that a case of pucker butt.
Yeah, I called it a lot of things, Tammy. Called it a lot of things. Sure did.
That's horrible. I'm glad you made it.
So I made it. My day started this morning in the it's just been that kind of day. People know my fear of snakes. There was, at first glance, what I thought was a snake in my closet this morning. And I woke up my wife. And right as I woke her up, yelling from the closet, I said, never mind. It was a shoelace.
Oh.
It was a shoelace, but it had the pattern of like a brown snake.
Woo.
So.
Ooh.
It's been that kind of day, man.
Oh, man. No, no, no.
Planes,
no, no.
Trains, and snakes.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. Boy, yeah. I'm having a hard time with this story because I'm trying not to visualize or try to put myself in your situation and just think about the number of ways that I would panic. I'm glad you handled yourself very well right there. Texters, y'all having fun with this? That's good. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you made it. You know, for all the days that I get mad because I'm stuck watching a train,
uh-huh.
I'm going to be thankful now. It's a total perspective thing. I'm going to be thankful that I'm on one side or the other of the train tracks and not in the middle during that.
I mean, and the city of Easley does as good a job as they can. The city of Easley, in conjunction with the railroads, they, you know, those tracks are very active. It cuts one side of the city off. I mean, the police department and the hospital is on this side of the tracks from the rest of the city. And, you know, I'm sure that creates a lot of issues, but I mean, they do a good job with it. It's just, I was just caught in a perfect storm right there. I really was.
Ben, I was going to tell you about a bad experience I had yesterday, but it's not even a real-life experience. I almost don't even want to bring it up, okay? But I did something. You mentioned all the sleep you got last night. I didn't get enough sleep. I've got another coffee today. I was told I could drink 5 cups of coffee, and I would never, ever get sick yesterday. Doctors told me that.
I saw you retweet that on the Twitter machine, and my first thought was, well, Quok's never dying. The amount of coffee that guy drinks. He's living until he's 180.
I'm doing great. So we're on cup number 3 today. My kid woke up in the middle of the night. She was okay. We watched a couple Blueies, and she was fine. But I went to bed late. And, Ben, I'm going to argue this. We'll take a couple phone calls in the next segment because I know people want to get in about football and people want to get in maybe even about Faxon's comments on Chad Morris. We had Riley said maybe Ben was distracted about Faxon yelling about Chad. So we're going to get into some of that today. But I believe there's like a bell curve of fandom where things are really good and you're excited, and then things get really bad and you turn it off. But if they're like really, really bad, you re-engage. Like if you hilariously are getting your A kicked, you have to re-engage in a game. It's almost like you have to keep watching. Last night, Ben, the Reds... This is what I watched. After the Braves looked like a competent winning organization, I watched that whole game.
Did they?
They did. They did. You know what? Because it wasn't great, but it was a competent winning organization.
We're going to talk about the Braves in the next segment.
Okay. Ben, I watched the Reds do these things, okay? I watched the Reds get runners on first and second with nobody out. A 3-0 count to Ellie De La Cruz. Of course... Bad organization, bad at baseball, terrible at playing the game. He chops one to the third baseman, and they get a force at second. So now we have runners on the corners and one out. Sal Stewart's at the plate. He's the team leader in RBIs. Rookie of the Year candidate. He hits a ball to shallow right field where Victor Robles, who does have a good arm, catches the ball. Edwin Arroyo tags at third. They sent him home. Ben, the guy's out by half the baseline. He's out 30 feet at home plate. Like, could have teleported there, and the guy's waiting on him. Like, it's so bad, so they don't score. I watched them not turn. I'm not kidding. This is an actual number. I watched them not turn four double plays, either because they bobbled the gather, they bobbled the throw, or they made a horrible turn at second base. And it was all of them at various points. I watched the second baseman run into the second base umpire trying to get to a ground ball. I watched them bring in a left-handed pitcher for a right-hander to face a left-handed batter. They intentionally walk the left-hand batter, Ben. They bring in the lefty. The first thing they do, they bring in the lefty, they walk the left-hand batter to load the bases so that the left-hand batter can face right-handed hitting Cal Raleigh. Did Cal Raleigh's ball hit a moon or another planet? The answer is I'm not sure. Don't know where it landed.
Hadn't landed yet.
No. Grand slam on the first pitch, not even close. And it was at that point I thought, I have to watch the rest of this game. I can't stop watching. And I just need to know, has there ever been a point where you thought about turning the game off, but it was so hilariously bad that you had to watch every moment of the game as if it was a national championship game? Because that's how I hate watching my team last night. Think about that during the break. Love to get some thoughts on the other side. 654 Roars the number. Georgia boy, we're coming to you on the other side. We're going to talk Braves. We're talking SEC Media Days. Much more to come right after this.
The MLB lives here.
That ball is gone.
The Roar.
Think back to the last time that you actually felt good in your own skin. I'm not talking about just acceptable or, you know, this is nice. I'm talking about really good, like full of energy and comfortable and brimming with confidence when you walk into a room.
Talking about all the best brands, you know, all the names, every name you can think of heavy equipment, machinery, power equipment, those types of things. They got it in there, okay? And they have great relationships with manufacturers. Every time we go to one of these landscaper supply grand openings or big blowout events or whatever, every single dealer you can think of has multiple people on site. That's the type of relationship that they have. But then you also have the small town service and that very individualized treatment that they're giving to contractors, but they're also giving to people that just want to, you know, do a good job in your yard, whether you're seeding or mulching or whatever the case may be. They've got you covered at Landscaper Supply. For more on how they can help you, landscapers-supply.com. Multiple people brought up the West Virginia Orange Bowl as a hate watch that they did. That was probably a little more, like, I literally hate watched in mid-July, like a random baseball game. That one was the last game of your year. I feel like you're just trying at that point to salvage anything. But I appreciate that people immediately went Orange Bowl against West Virginia. Hate watch. Texter says, hate watch against Real C, Clemson versus West Virginia Orange Bowl. That it's very interesting, Ben, that 15 years later, that appears to still be a game that people bring up. Not 2013 Florida State, where Clemson got drilled. Not like a couple of those Georgia games, where like the 2020...
The West Virginia game was just embarrassing.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just face it. There's no other way to – you got embarrassed by a team that really had no business embarrassing you. Florida State 2013 turned out to be pretty good.
Yeah. Nice little team. Nice little team there with like 50 pros on it. Yes. Very good. A very good team. Let's go to Georgia boy. Who's up with us next? 654 Roar is the number if you want to join on the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone lines. Hey, Georgia boy.
Hey, now. I kind of wanted to ask, why do whoever selects the game schedules, why some teams start off with a hard team and other teams get to start off slow with cupcakes? Y'all start off with a... Well, LSU, right? Clemson,
well,
LSU?
Yeah. It's not really like a secret man behind the curtain. Every school kind of has the opportunity to schedule however they want. Now, conferences, I mean, it's interesting, in 27, Dave Doran kind of spilled the beans at ACC kickoff that, at least as of right now, that Clemson appears to be scheduled to start at NC State next year, so in 2027. So sometimes it's conferences that kind of do that. But particularly for non-conference, it is totally at the discretion of the schools.
Okay, and how I know y'all probably have looked at it from all angles, but how do you think of Wayne Kiffin's at LSU, right? How y'all gonna fare against LSU? Well, how does that match up as quarterback play and all that stuff?
Well, I'll tell you this, Georgia boy, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. I talked to a couple Clemson folks yesterday. And I would say there is a smattering. Like maybe you can see a cloud forming in the distance, but you're not sure if it's going to blow this way or that way or whatever. But you see it out there and you're like, you know what? If it rains, it'll be because of that. You can see the mental game of I am now beginning in mid-July to convince myself that Clemson can win in Baton Rouge. Ben, I haven't heard a lot of that in months. Like, actual rationale for why Clemson can go there and win. Even from optimistic fans. They're like, well, you know, we'll just see. But I have heard that one. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Just a little grain of truth that you can put in there to say, you know, maybe we can use this and get over the hump there.
What you know is that you're playing on the road in Baton Rouge, and that's not easy no matter what team they have. What you don't know is a whole lot about your team and a whole lot about their team.
That's right.
And that gives everybody the nerves. It also gives you an opportunity to be a little bit optimistic because, you know, what if everything goes good for your team and what if everything goes bad for that team? You just don't know a lot about either one of these teams. So I think that's why. It's also July. July is when, you know, Gamecock fans think they're going 11-1. Clemson fans think they're going 10-2, 11-1, you know. All of that stuff. Alabama's back. We're all optimistic in July.
By the time we get to our kickoff show, every fan base will be happily, pleasantly there.
Yeah. It'll be, okay, well, we know Clemson's winning the ACC. Who do y'all think will finish in second? Yeah. No, that's an exaggeration. I don't think we're going to be to that point.
The only fan base that might not be in a race to do that is Florida State. We haven't heard a lot of Florida State conversation. I mean, Ted called in the other day. Do you think Florida State fans, which we didn't talk about this a ton in up in Charlotte, Florida State fans are stuck between a rock and a hard place because they want to win. They don't think they're going to win with Mike Norvell. I'm of the opinion that it's always easier if you just go ahead and win with who you have. It costs way less money to win with who you have than to go get somebody else. But it is highly possible that Florida State ends up at 7-5. And essentially just operates in purgatory another year with Mike Norvell?
Possible. But, you know, we talked about ACC teams a lot last week with the media days. That is another squad that if I'm a Florida State fan, I'd hold my head just right. I can convince myself of, you know, well, if everything goes right, I can do that. I don't think it's an enormous stretch. There's a lot of unknowns about that team too. So, I do want to talk about the Braves. Can I give you a PSA / happy birthday?
Oh yeah.
Here, I was going to do this in the first segment, but I didn't realize that I was playing chicken with a train.
Look, this birthday is going to be important, but the train is, I mean, it's grade A material.
Do you know that Tiger Paul's 56 years old today?
No way.
It is.
Happy birthday, Tiger Paul.
The Tiger Paul at Clemson University, as you know it today, is 56 years old today. And I don't know if this is why they did it. The university actually published some do's and don'ts about the Paul. They're doing the Lord's work. If you know how I stand, where I stand on that, you understand what I'm talking about. We'll go over that in a minute. The tiger that has sort of resurfaced here on some things. Who did I see you? Oh, the football staff had that on a lot of their clothing. You know what I'm talking about? That the old looking tiger.
Yes.
That one was the resource I was using does not have the dates right, I know for a fact, but I think that was the most recognizable, the most usable logo prior to this current version of the Paul. There was another tiger they used before that. I had not seen this one. There was a block C with a skinny little tiger sitting in the C. In the 50s.
I was looking at. I'm wearing a shirt from the Vault. I've got some Vault shirts and some Home Field Apparel shirts. One of the Home Field Apparel shirts, it's either mine or one that my wife has that logo of like the tiger just basically chilling in the block C.
Yeah. I don't recall seeing that one very much, but the Tiger Paul, 56 years old today. And it was, most people know that is a real tiger's foot stamp. The Chicago Museum of Natural History is who supplied that to Clemson. And it was Henderson Advertising in Greenville is the group responsible for developing that. So, 56 years old. But I say all that to say this. The university published the do's and don'ts on how you use the Paul. And if you're a Clemson fan, I encourage you to find this, to use this, to reference this as often as you need to. If you follow me on Twitter, you know that sometimes I might take a photo of your car and your Tiger Paul that's not done properly. Johnny Carrots does it. Others do it. We're trying to shame you into doing this the right way. First and foremost, the Tiger Paul is always, always turned to 1 o'clock. Not 12 o'clock, not 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock. It is never flipped. Saw a big, nice truck the other day. The Tiger Paul on left, he had it 1 o'clock. And the Tiger Paul on the right, he had at 11 o'clock to try to even him out. No, it's always 1 o'clock.
I thought when I was growing up, I used to be responsible for the magnets on the car, and thankfully my parents would gently correct it. But I thought that we put it at 1 o'clock because it was like the Tiger's walking up the car. So I did it the other way on the left side, like to 11 o'clock, and it took me a little while to realize that ain't why we turned the Paul that way. I'm grateful for parents that knew the right way.
Yeah, there's some other things that to me is less of a big deal. I mean, the Tiger Paul turned at 1 o'clock is sort of part of your logo. And if you go to Tiger Sports Shop and you buy one, it's on the sheet turned at 1 o'clock. So if you buy one for your car and it's the little square, and you make the bottom of that square, use the horizon and you make it parallel to what it, to the ground, then the Paul is going to be at 1 o'clock. They do that on purpose. You never, ever print something over top of the Tiger Paul. That's a major no-no.
Yes.
You don't change the color. You don't do pink or purple or some picture in it. You don't do any of that. It is an orange Tiger Paw, and you can also do white with an outline, but they give you some examples on there. If you don't get anything else right, get it to 1 o'clock. If you're a Clemson fan, you should know this.
Don't be a noob. Act like you've been here before. Get that thing right. I'm going to tell you what. The outline, the acceptable use sort of pause. Man, I like some of those white outline paw. Like the white outline paw with the orange and purple. It's nice. That's nice. I don't know that I've ever just looked at one of those and thought that's just a phenomenal piece of graphic there, but really like that one. 654 Roar, if you'd like to get in, Pratt Injury Lawyers phone lines, Adams at Good Roofing text line. I tell you what, when we come back, I will talk about the Braves, and you know what, I will talk about how I never jinx the Braves anymore. Have never, do not. Will never.
Manny Machado says hello.
Those days are over, Ben. I have a great example from last night when we return after this.
With the Roar app, you're carrying 13 hours of live local sports talk right in your pocket. From the start of the Mickey Filer Show to the end of Road Rage. We're streaming live no matter where you are in the world. Download the Roar.
Emergency service, 24-hour same-day service. They hire plumbers that are well-trained. They pay their plumbers really well. And then they give you a really good experience because they need people out and about making sure that they do what it is they promise to their customers, which is for all those clogs and the hot water issues and the leaks or whatever that grind everything in your home or business to a screeching halt. One-time plumber has the answer. A few days ago, my daughter ran out of the car and, like, hit something on the water heater, and I thought it was broken. I figured out what she did eventually, but I knew in that moment, well, worst-case scenario, one-time plumber's got my back. That's my experience. Can be yours as well. Call the plumber whose name is his number. That's one-Tom Plumber. A lot of folks also passionate about the 1 o'clock, Paul. I know you're not shocked about that, but we do have some,
it's
like...
It's good.
We've got some snitching going on, you know, people at work that don't do it right and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, E-Dub said he's corrected one at work, a magnet. I feel like if you do this in love, it's okay to correct somebody else's. I rarely touch somebody else's vehicle, but if I feel like I can get away with it, I'm going to fix it. If, you know, you're parked in the parking lot and I walk by your car, and your paws at 12 o'clock rather than 1 o'clock, I'm gonna give it a gentle nudge down to 1 o'clock. I am.
Oh, yeah.
Jake points out, it's a great point, that it's one of the ways that you distinguish the Clemson paw from others. Because there's some high schools around here that have a paw. Somebody will have to help me out. There's somebody has one that's straight up. Is it Abbeville, maybe?
Abbeville. Maybe Crescent as well.
Crescent, yeah, it's Crescent, where it's straight up, you know, and it's close, but it's not the same. The 1 o'clock, though, is sort of that's Clemson's thing.
It's a thing. The 1 o'clock and the little crook in the bottom. That's how you know.
Yep.
654 Roar. If you want to get in, Pratt Andrew Lawyer's phone lines, Adams and Co Roofing text line.
The Braves did win last night, 3-2. Over the Padres. Kwok did bash the Padres, and Manny Machado, I believe his name was mentioned specifically. He had two hits, one being a home run last night, and that was the highlight for the Padres offensively. But I did find it interesting that it is crazy, and they were talking about this on the broadcast with him in particular. That guy, how many home runs does he have on the year? 21, I believe.
20 home runs.
20 home runs, but he's hitting a cool 201 batting average. He either hits it over the wall or misses everything wildly.
Oh, that's 100% who he is.
Which, ironically, right, is a lot of what the Braves are, too, right now.
I'm going to look at what has happened since I ripped this guy. And actually, it started before I ripped him, but I didn't know it was the start of a thing.
When Atlanta played in San Diego about a month ago?
Oh, yeah. Exactly a month ago, by the way, June 21st.
Yeah, you laid into him pretty good, and Machado had a career night.
Yeah, he was hitting going into that series with Atlanta. I guess it was the June 22nd show. He was hitting 179. He is now hitting 201. His batting average is up 22 points since I called him a bum and said he was worthless, scum, and he didn't have a clue what he was doing. He's also hit 5-6 home runs during that time. So he had 14 home runs at that time. He's up to 20. I did have a two-hit game last night. He is hitting in the month of July. He's hitting 269 in the month of July. So that's really good. The one thing I got right, and you remember, I threw this in yesterday. I said, you know, Michael Harris, like, 1-for-5 or whatever it is against J.P. Sears. But this guy has a really good-looking approach against lefties. Like, he's hitting breaking balls really good against lefties. I think he's going to get one. Ben, Michael Harris against lefties. Stroke of genius from Kwok. Don't say I jinx everybody, because I nailed the crap out of that one.
You did, and I give you credit for that. Drake Baldwin, Austin Riley, a combined 0-for-6 last night after we praised them for making contact the night before. Here's the thing. Like, I'll take a win anytime you can get it, obviously. But the thing that scares me about a game last night is that it looked similar to Atlanta early in the season, where you only won games where you hit home runs. They had 4 hits last night. Fortunately, had 2 home runs in those 4 hits. But, you know, you ideally you need more than 4 hits, because if you just rely on the long ball, you're not always going to have that. And that was maybe the negative to a win. You know, again, it's never bad when you win, no matter how you do it. But that makes me a little bit nervous.
Can I say one thing about that? Because you're right about this, and it's a first world problem what you're talking about. Since the All-Star break, the Braves have scored 32 runs in 4 games. All right, that's an average of 8 a game. And I would love to go back and look. I'd have to actually do some math. I may do the math during this break coming up. How many home runs do you think the Braves have hit to get to 32 runs in the last 4 games?
I don't how many home runs have they hit in the last 4 games?
In the last 4 games combined, yes.
They've hit 6.
They have hit 11 home runs. In the last 4 games.
Okay.
Because you had the 15-run outburst against Texas.
Forgot about that one.
Where, like, you know, you had pitchers driving in runs with hits. You had 3 homers on Friday. You had 2 homers on Saturday in a 7-6 loss. You had 4 home runs on Sunday in the 8-5 win. And then you had 2 more last night. And you would have to go back. 11 home runs. 1, 2, let's see, 4, 5, 7, 8, 13. You'd have to go back 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games to get that type of home run production before the All-Star break, where I would argue they weren't playing that great. Now, sometimes they were scoring runs. They didn't have the benefit of home runs. They were building more innings. That's kind of what you're saying there, is you'd like to see the Braves build more innings. The danger, there is a danger in what you're talking about. A handful of seasons ago, it might have been 2021, I actually did this with Clemson baseball, maybe 22, where I started tracking how many of the runs that they scored were coming from home runs. Because at that point, it was like there were a 2 or 3 week span where, like, if they didn't hit a home run or, like, get walked with the bases loaded, they were not scoring. And it was, in my mind, it was a problem. And it ended up being a problem down the stretch where they could not build innings. The fear is that you can get guys who start to live this way, and when the wind's blowing in, or you're in a bigger ballpark, or the other guy's locating well and not throwing you pitches over the heart of the plate, et cetera, that you're not able to get the run production. Like I said, what you're talking about is a first world problem, but it is a problem potentially that's very hard to keep offensive players out of when they're hitting this many home runs and scoring this many runs like the Braves are. The one thing that I would tell you, though, and this, you know, as we enter the trade deadline, the Braves are going to you know, the Braves are going to add, and Alex Anthopoulos is talking about adding, you know, potentially adding pitching and not adding a bat, and there's some other reports saying they're looking at adding bats. So you don't really know exactly. It feels like maybe day-to-day or every couple days, the exact precise lens changes or the focus changes. When I watched the Braves last night, you saw a concern. And this is interesting because we watched the same game. You saw a concern. What I saw when I watched the Braves last night is I watched a baseball team that didn't have any of its bullpen arms available, that was staring at Bryce Elder, who very easily can get knocked out after four innings because of pitch counts or ineffectiveness or whatever. He gives you six. Then you have Medeiros give you seven outs at the end of the game, got some clutch outs in a one-run game.
Medeiros was clearly the bright spot from last night from a talent standpoint.
You had
100%.
Look, in a 3-2 game, you better play good defense. You had no errors. You had a couple of really nice running catch. You know, you've got some really good defensive plays. I saw a team that wasn't at its best, that didn't have all its pieces available. Baldwin goes 0-for-4 at the top of the lineup with two strikeouts. Olsen's hitless. Riley's hitless. Dubon is hitless. You're not walking a lot, but you just kind of did what the game required. You found a way to win. And I think that, as I'm watching, I'm going, you know what? I appreciate the way they played last night because it wasn't perfect, but it was good enough.
They also went, like 3.5 innings or so without a hit last night. I mean, J.P. Sears was mowing them down.
He was very good last night, and he is a good arm.
Beginning. Yeah, I'm not looking for a negative here. They won, but I'm just pointing out you would like to see a few more hits because when you have two home runs and you win by one, you know, a lot of nights that's not good enough. And now you look, but the other side of that, you look at the Braves lineup right now. Man, you got Bart in there. Joy Bart had a hit. By the way, I really like the way he catches a game.
He's a very good player.
He's he is smooth behind the plate. The way he frames pitches, he makes it look so effortless. I think it really helps you get that the benefit of the call. Comfortable defensively, but he's not a guy that you're, you know, batting 143 for a reason. Jim Jarvis, you know, so far so good. 0-for-3 last night, and then Eli White. I mean, that's the bottom of your order last night. These are two of those three guys weren't on your roster at the beginning of the season. So that's part of it.
I like what Jarvis has given. It's kind of like Bart, like for what you gave up or what you expect of him, he's giving you a little more value probably than what you thought you might be getting in that instance. Jarvis, I don't know if you saw, I think it was yesterday, he got clocked at like 91.7 miles an hour on a double play ball that was a bang-bang play at first.
Oh, man.
It was like a 97th percentile throw velocity from an infielder this season. I'm going to look that up during the break. It was like if he's giving you that and getting a few hits and getting on base, I'm down with that.
Well, it's just with that kind of bottom of the order, the top of the order, everybody is going to have to contribute. And, you know, again, you had two guys combined for 0-for-6 last night in Baldwin and Riley. And Olsen didn't have a hit last night either. So
right.
You would generally have at least one or two hits between those three guys. On J.P. Sears, several people reminding, Citadel grad, and went to high school in South Carolina too.
Yeah, Columbia, I think.
Yeah, I know he's a South Carolina guy, so it's good to see him. And he was dominant those first couple of innings.
I'm going to get your hopes up one time, okay? One time.
Tread lightly.
Walker Buehler against Reynaldo Lopez tonight.
Walker Buehler's not been great this year.
Uh-uh. You know who's hit Walker Buehler really good in his career? Austin Riley's 5-for-9 with a home run against Walker Buehler. And after an 0-for, If you think that Riley's come out of it a little bit, he's not going 0 for back-to-back. You know, while the Braves are hitting home runs, let's, you know, just for kicks and giggles, give me an Austin Riley home run tonight. Not in the dock. That would be crazy. That'd be crazy. Let's just say. Let's see what happens here. All right.
Tape has been marked.
Yeah, well, there we go.